Welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and in today's installment, we're heading up to the Charles A. Lindbergh Historic Site in Little Falls for a preview of this weekend's History Day. More specifically, we're going to be visiting with some of the students from Mr. Brian Hurd's social studies class from Mary of Lourdes Middle School in Little Falls. Over the course of the last few months, these students have been working on projects, mostly documentary films, that will be shown at St. Cloud State University this coming weekend during History Day. And these students, what you might call a small private school in central Minnesota, all have the chance to go on to the state competition at the University of Minnesota and then potentially onto the national competition in Washington, D.C. So before we talk to the students, we're going to talk with Tim Hoagland, otherwise known as Mr. History, Director of Educational Outreach Programs at the Minnesota Historical Society and Instructor of History at the University of Minnesota, about the history of History Day.
Here's the brief history of History Day. National History Day was created as a local program in Cleveland, Ohio, by a history professor in 1974. He basically saw a lot of students come into his classroom, and they felt this big disconnect with history that's essentially boring, and they had to memorize a lot of stuff. And he thought, you know, the problem was is that history courses really were not allowing students to do what it is that historians do. And because your average historian investigates and tries to figure things out and doesn't just sit around and memorize things. So he looked at the example of the science fair, where kids get to do science, and essentially created a history fair called History Day. So it became a national program in 1980, and that's when it first came to Minnesota, to the University of Minnesota. And the program has been kind of growing and evolving ever since, and currently over 25,000 kids in the state of Minnesota participate. Most teachers use History Day as a straight-up classroom assignment, that this is a major project that kids complete for a grade in school, and then after that, they can move on to a regional History Day event. So there'd be a school History Day that would select kids to move on to the regional History Day event, like the one that will take place at St. Cloud State. And then from there, kids are selected to move on to the state History Day event at the University of Minnesota, and then a few of them get to move on to represent Minnesota at the national competition near Washington, D.C. The key is the kids have lots of different choices about how to do their work. They all have to choose a topic based on the annual theme. So this year, it's exploration, encounter, exchange in history. And they could pick a topic like Columbus or Lewis and Clark or a scientist or a female activist. It's really up to them. They just have to make that connection to the theme. And then they can present their findings in the form of a research paper, a documentary, a tabletop exhibit, a performance, or a website.
And how have you seen these topics and not just themes, but how the kids have developed these ideas? How do you think that's changed over the years?
Well, there's some things that have changed and some things haven't. And I think a lot of middle school and high school kids are drawn to historical drama. So when they think about topics that they want to research, a lot of them are engaged in things like the civil rights movement or the integration of baseball or women's suffrage, you know, things that have, you know, a lot of drama and tension to them. But otherwise, we also see them, you know, frequently kind of connecting with things that are important to them, that, you know, their families didn't exist outside of history. And we've seen kids illustrate how they may have had a grandparent or a great-grandparent participate in D-Day, and how does that build connection to their community? One paper that I read years ago by a student near St. Cloud talked about how her great-grandmother had been arrested as a bootlegger, and she had been able to find research resources, and her last line of her paper said that she was very proud to know that her great-grandmother, you know, was a bootlegger and a jailbird.
Yep, history is a personal thing sometimes, yeah.
So, you know, one of the great things is, you know, when all these kids from all these area schools come together to the History Day event, like the one that will take place at St. Cloud State on Saturday the 19th, they end up being this great showcase of history where the kids, yes, are being judged and evaluated, but it is their time to shine because they have become the expert on their particular topic. And our research shows that because it's a very active learning project where they have to come up with an idea and then they have to do this work and then they have to present it and send it, their levels of engagement in school go up. And that kind of energy really stands out at the History Day events like the one at St. Cloud State.
And now teacher Brian Hurd welcomes students and parents as the screening of the films begin.
Film the theater up here a little bit. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, just for parents too that aren't familiar with this, you know, we started this in about October, and I know you've heard about this. Some of you have been through this before with older brothers or sisters. So students chose their topic based on exchange, exploration, and encounter in history. Each year's is a different theme, and they tie it into that theme. So all the work you're seeing has been done by students over the last, you know, 3+ months. Many came in on off days, stayed late, gave up recesses, etc. So a lot of work went into what you're going to be seeing tonight.
Navajo Code Talkers in World War II by Thomas Subco. There were 400 to 500 Navajo Code Talkers. They were an Indian tribe that could speak more than one language. They were used by the U.S. Marines to travel messages back and forth during World War II in the Pacific Theater. They were used because Japanese did not know any Navajo. The U.S. explored the idea of having Native American people transmitting messages throughout the Pacific Theater. Philip Johnson was the biggest key player for the Code Talkers. He is the one that introduced the idea and started programs to pursue this idea. The Cherokee and Choctaw Indians, however, pioneered code talking during World War I.
In the 1500s, Giovanni Filippo, an Italian physician, gave a more detailed description of chickenpox. He noted how the rash looked like the skin of a newly plucked chicken. However, the circumstances of how it was discovered were never mentioned.
In the 1800s, Rudolf Steiner took fluid from the chickenpox blisters of an infected person and rubbed it on the skin of healthy volunteers. They also developed this itchy hunger.
Women's rights had come a long way since 1972. Women could vote, and they were part of the workforce. But they were still discriminated against in education programs and activities that were receiving federal financing assistance.
Denise Sandler, Patsy Mink, and Edith Green, the founding mothers of Title IX, did not think this was fair. Patsy Mink played basketball, but she was never allowed to play full court because she was a woman. Bernice Sandler once did not get a job she applied for because she came on too strong for a woman. Edith Green was interested in becoming a lawyer or engineer, but she was persuaded into a more conventional career for a woman. Struggles of these women had drove them to create Title IX. These women explored ideas that would lead to women encountering new things such as high school and college sports.
Women have been fighting for equal rights for centuries. Abigail Adams was an early crusader for women's rights. She wrote to her husband, John, "Remember the ladies. Do not put such unlimited power into the hands of the husband." Perhaps the biggest win was gaining the right to vote on August 8, 1920. Since 1800, women had been organizing, petitioning, and picketing to win the right to vote.
Louis Armstrong is one of the greatest musicians of the jazz age, not greatest.
In 1776, Abigail Adams wrote to her husband John, "In the new court of laws, remember the ladies, and do not put such unlimited power into the hands of unjust." John Adams replied, "I cannot but laugh, depend upon it. We know better than to repeal our masculine systems. In the new constitution, its promised rights were fully enjoyed by most white males. Women were treated according to tradition, and were denied most legal rights. In general, they could not vote, own property, keep their wages, or even have custody over their own children. The first public for demand for equality arrived in 1848.
Elizabeth Stanton and Lucretia Mott, who had met as abolitionists against slavery, convened a two-day meeting of 300 women and men to call for justice for women where they bared from rights and privileges. The National American Woman Suffrage Association, NAWSA, was the main stream lobbying force off millions at every level of government. The NAWSA was a small radical group that conducted marches, picketing of the White House, and civil disobedience. They ran into stiff opposition from states' rights advocates and a number of women themselves. They believed claims that the
amendment that was to be known as Rosie the Riveter. Miller created posters that were well known around the country. One of his most famous posters stated, "We can do it." Although Miller created Rosie, it was actually Norman Rockwell that made her known as Rosie the Riveter. On May 29, 1943, Rockwell created an advertisement in the Saturday Evening Post. The reason she was called Rosie the Riveter was because of the song Red Evans and Jacob Lowe made as an advertisement called the Rosie the Riveter song.
She's a part of the assembly line. She's making history, working for victory. Rosie the Riveter keeps a sharp lookout for sabotage. Sitting up there on the fuselage, that little friend can do more than the man can do. Rosie the Riveter, Rosie again.
Rosie the Riveter is a national figure that signified women who worked during the war. When women encountered Rosie, they were encouraged to undertake jobs vacated by men. The reason women took on these positions was because Rosie showed them they were capable of doing the same as men. Rosie increased the number of women in the workforce from 12 million to 40 million, a 56% increase from 1940. The woman that modeled for Rosie the Riveter was Geraldine Hoff Doyle. Geraldine was a 17-year-old phone operator from West Arlington, Vermont.
Rosie helped women to get involved with the war by giving them the determination to work and to help succeed in the war. Rosie also played as a role model by showing women they are strong enough to work and take care of their daily lives. We think that the impact Rosie made on the U.S. was substantial to women's rights and to where women are now.
I'm Adrian Krisha, and my project was on Title IX.
I'm Angela Wright, and mine was also on Title IX.
Okay, yep, the last two that we saw there and everything. So how did you get involved in your different projects?
Well, we're both athletes, so yeah, we were really interested because Title IX made an impact in our lives.
And especially my partner, she's very, like, she wants to make it known that girls aren't equal as boys, and she feels like sometimes that boys kind of are viewed at being more competitive and more able to participate in sports than girls are.
But yeah, that's one of those strange things. There seemed to be a theme going on, like looking back through history, you see all this inequality with women, and this is kind of like, well, that doesn't make any sense. So as you're going through the development of your documentary, what were some of the roadblocks you ran into?
Well, it was kind of hard to find pictures that, like, fit it and weren't blurry and everything. And we couldn't find a way to put our interview videos into our projects. We just ended up using the voice recordings.
For us, the biggest problem was the interview because we called probably over 20 people. And one of the guys we called said that he would call us back, and he never called us back. And a lot of people just said that they wish you well on your project, but they're not available right now, or they'll let you know if something opens up.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
So how did you get involved with History Day?
Our computer teacher, Mr. Hurd, introduced it to us.
Yep. And we just got a list of topics that we could choose from, and you could go beyond that list, I think, but we just looked through it and we saw Title IX, and that's how we picked it.
Very cool, very cool. So was this a fun time then?
Yeah, it was really interesting.
I'm really excited for regional.
It was a really interesting experience, and I learned a lot.
I'm very educated now, and like I know a lot more.
You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. In this installment, we're up in the Little Falls at the Charles A. Lindbergh Historic Site and in their theater, and we're talking with students from Mary of Lourdes Middle School as they prepare for the regional competition in History Day at St. Cloud State University this Saturday, March 19th. There'll be hundreds of students with their projects competing for a place in the state competition down at the University of Minnesota, within a chance to go to the national competition in Washington, D.C. The event this weekend runs from 8 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon when the award ceremony happens, and it's free and open to the public. Now, as we get back into the story, before we get into conversations with the students and their teachers, there are a couple common themes that kept appearing through the students' work. They can both be demonstrated at once. This would be the use of outside expert interviews, as well as the students' focus on women's issues and equality throughout history. Now, we'll hear a little bit of one of the students' interviews with SDSU professor Robert Gowler.
Jennifer Burr, site supervisor at the Lindbergh Historic Site with MNHS.
Mm-hmm. I'm Brian Hurd, social studies computer teacher at Mary of Lourdes Middle School.
Awesome. And this is what would you call this, a rough draft day for the history day, or it's history night, but yet...
a few years ago, we started doing something called History Day Night, which was having these students finish their projects ahead of time so that they could view them on a big screen. view them in front of their parents, in front of their classmates, and then just kind of see what it looked like instead of on the little computer screen to see what it looked like on the big screen. And that way it was also an incentive for them to get their projects done on time.
Getting it done early means getting it done on time.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So how did you feel about the projects this year?
Oh, they were fabulous this year. It was really neat to see all the kids that took time to go out and get interviews. That's huge. A lot of kids will go on to state without interviews even, but our kids really put a lot of effort into it, and it took a lot of guts.
Yeah, that's something, you know, at their age, definitely that's nervous. They're asking an adult questions and calling them up, contacting them.
Yeah, it's huge for them. It's a good step. So.
And even the two girls who contacted the professor from St. Cloud State, I didn't even know they were going to do that. And they came in and said, oh, we did an interview with a guy from St. Cloud State. Really? Well, I actually have been kind of... I don't know him, but I mean, I know who I've talked to Robert Gowler, and it's just kind of interesting that they kind of are getting out of their comfort zone and doing those things, which is really cool.
I don't think you have to give them that much of a push.
Right.
I mean, you do eventually, but once I think they're going, then that's what I found, because there's a lot of shyness, a lot of like, I don't want to do it, or there's a whole list of reasons why things don't get done. But once they get going.
And I think in a group, it helps, you know. My best friend and I are doing it together. It's not so scary.
You dare them to make the phone. Yeah, yeah. Rock, paper, scissors.
Who's,
you got to make the call.
Who's going to call? Right. Who's the one that's going to make the phone call? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what are what have been some of the roadblocks to getting, I don't know, the projects done and things like that?
Well, there's always a few technological things. And, you know, just we have computers that are 6 years old, and I never thought that would seem old, but I don't think our software is talking to each other the greatest, but everything is working. Usually we have these burned-out disks. We can't figure out how to do it this year now. It's all going more online, and I suspect these are all going to end up on YouTube, and we may even present them that way.
Yeah, 10 minutes, just about 10 minutes for documentary, and, you know, just if you think about it, that's a long time to talk about something.
Yeah, it is. It is, and it's. I think they start out sometimes even thinking, oh, how am I ever going to fill 10 minutes? And then they start to learn so much that they almost have to, like, cut things out. But a 10-minute format is a challenging one to meet, you know. Yeah. They can't be too short and they can't be too long or they get penalized, so.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I just think it's, like I said to students before, it's a great mix of technology, of history, of language arts, in some cases even other fields, science in terms of the medical one that was done. Mm-hmm. So it's a great mix of things that the students create. And they get to create a project that we can put on the internet or, you know, like say we used to burn the discs, but now it's on the internet. It'll be there for them. I don't think there's anything left from when I did something in eighth grade. But here, they're going to create something, and maybe a number of years later, they're going to go and say, oh, yeah, that's on the internet somewhere. I should watch that. It's going to be there.
And honestly, you know, I asked them all, hey, who's going to keep doing documentaries? They all said no. But you never know. It might swing back around, and then, you know, if they get that link somewhere, that's part of their resume right there. It's like, hey, this is what I did when I didn't know what I was doing. And
right.
Well, thanks for talking with me today.
Thank you.
So why don't we just kind of go around and you all can introduce yourselves and maybe what was your project?
I'm Ellie Inez, and our project was the Equal Rights Amendment.
I'm Kylie Pullman, and my project was the Equal Rights Amendment as well.
I'm Madeline Vandersingham, and I did Rosie the Riveter.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yep.
And I'm Abby Thiesing, and I also did Rosie the Riveter.
Cool.
My name is Zachary Spagna, and my project on Louis Armstrong.
My name is Thomas Zupko, and I did my project on the Navajo Code Talkers of World War II.
How did you all get interested in your respective projects?
We just really wanted to do something with women's equal rights.
Yeah.
And we thought because women should be equal to men, and yeah.
It was just the first thing that kind of interested us, and, well, Title IX interested us, but, like, we, two other people were already doing it, so it's kind of like, well, why do it again? So we just thought it would be the best one.
Yeah, plenty of stuff along those topics, too. It's kind of one of those things, if you think about it, you're like, well, why isn't this, or why is this an issue? This doesn't make sense, but it's still there, so. Yeah. So how about y'all? How did you get involved?
Pretty much the same way. We wanted to learn more about women's rights, and that's pretty much it.
How about you? How did you get involved with Louis Armstrong? What interested you in them?
Well, ever since I was young, I was interested in music, so I wanted to do Louis Armstrong.
Yeah, definitely an innovator within music, I tell you what. How about you?
Well, I've always liked history and learning about the wars, and I kind of like want to go to the army, so they would kind of fit into that.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's part of the history and everything, yeah. So what were some of the challenges that you guys faced while getting together these projects?
Okay, so finding some of the information was kind of hard because we didn't really know what sites to use and stuff. So it's kind of difficult to find most of the information, and also finding the pictures were kind of hard because you can't really like type in your part of your script and like find the picture that you want.
Yeah.
So it was really kind of difficult with that part.
How did you get past that, or did you just keep Googling?
Well, we kind of just put like one picture for the whole part of it.
We couldn't find like two or more for that part.
We just put one as that picture. So
right on. And how about y'all?
It was hard to find information too. Like,
yeah.
And we had our iMovie deleted about 2 minutes into it.
Yeah,
I think it wasn't too bad, but we had to restart it. And where we had all of our pictures, it didn't work anymore. So we took forever to get those pictures back onto a different computer. So that was pretty hard.
The technological battle of a presentation, I tell you what, yeah. So what big projects are you guys going to be doing next? Are you just going to be happy that this is over?
We're doing the science fair. It's very difficult.
Challenging. Yeah.
Oh, it takes up a lot of
and
time.
Stressful.
Yeah.
I'd say it's probably...
Well, like, this was, like, fun and everything.
Yeah.
But it was... Finding the information was kind of boring.
Yeah.
Sorry. But... and so, science fair won't be that much more exciting.
Yeah.
So how was the feedback that you got? What was going on here tonight that's different than, say, the regional thing this coming weekend?
Yeah. Regional is going to be bigger, probably harder to get to go to states or get an honorable mention, and that'll probably be a lot more fun too.
I think it will be, well, doing this first, knowing all like the things we need to fix is better than just going straight to regionals and having a not perfect presentation.
I guess it was pretty good here, and like other than here, we got some feedback from like our parents and the lady we interviewed and stuff. She thought we were like college age students. So
well, what is the website once it's up there? Promote that. You will be eventually.
Yeah.
NWPC, National Women's Political Caucus, and we interviewed the president of it, Donna Lynn, and she thought our information was really good, and she asked us, like, how old we are and what grade and what school we go to, and then she's going to put, like, our script and stuff on her website and who we are and stuff.
Very nice.
If you just look up, like... National Women's Political Caucus, it just pop up. I think it's nwpc.org.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So any of y'all think about continuing with documentary making into your future?
No.
What? Come on!
No. One and done type of thing.
Okay, right on. Well, thank y'all for talking, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
And we've just finished speaking with the students from Mary of Lourdes Middle School in Little Falls at the Charles A. Lindbergh Historic Site as they've presented their documentaries for the regional competition of History Day coming up this Saturday at St. Cloud State University. One thing that struck me while working on this story was how in many ways middle school students are very much like adults in that if left to their own devices, they might seem lazy and preoccupied with their own little games, but if pressed just a little bit, you'll find that they do have legitimate interests and concerns about their world around them. So this weekend at St. Cloud State, beginning at 8 a.m. on Saturday, you can see what a couple hundred middle school kids are interested and concerned about within their world, which is also the future of our world. And for more information on History Day, you can find it on the Minnesota Historical Society website at mnhs.org or link to it off our website through the podcast of this story at kvsc.org under the Podcasts and Untold Stories of Central Minnesota tab. This has been Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota is made possible through support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and has been produced at KVSC, proud member of AMPERS, diverse radio for Minnesota's communities.